good afternoon. This is Glenn Coble, and we are on A Progressive Life, along with our every Wednesday guest,
That's
Dr.
correct.
Feynman. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, excellent. I don't know if you heard me. Were you listening earlier?
To some of it, yes.
Well,
I noticed when you made the comment about politics that probably at your age you shouldn't be paying so much attention to politics.
Probably shouldn't be. Well, one of the things that I was going to ask you, and I don't know if you happened to pick up, we were live streaming a local judge who was, they were sentencing him.
I looked it up while you were talking about
right.
it, yeah.
And he was sentenced to 2 years, and he's going to appeal, so it isn't completely done yet. But
what about his wife? She also gets that?
She also gets the 2 year sentence as well.
Now, do they have young children or adults?
I can't honestly tell you that. I'd have to go back and look that up.
But, yeah, that's sad.
What do you think about white collar crime? Do you think white collar crime? Do you think white collar criminals should also get jail time?
Well, I think the hit and run, yes. I think it depends on what the white-collar crime is. But, I mean, even for financial crimes, absolutely, yeah, I think they should. Because I think that, you know, too many people get away with it because it's not murder or rape. But I do think when somebody's hit someone in hit and run or someone's been involved in financial crimes, you know, then I think they should.
There are people that are injured by financial crimes.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Now, Scott thought that white crime should probably not have jail terms, and I am very uncomfortable with the fact that the United States of America leads the world in number of incarcerated people. That bothers me.
But yes, it's terrible.
I think you'll find an awful lot of those people are in jail for 10 years because they had 3 ounces of pot in their pocket.
That's right, and that's got to stop. And meanwhile, Ponzi scheme and Bernie Madoff died this morning.
Yes, that, and we did.
He said he belonged in prison.
Yeah, and he was in prison, and he'd been there for a while, had he not?
Yeah, I think about more than 10 years.
Yeah.
It was 08, 09, so I think about 10, 12 years, yeah.
Yeah, now, I don't know whether this particular crime that was we were watching stream today was the young man. He was 19 years old, and they hit him in the car, and then they went over and looked at him. I don't know why, but both of them looked at him. And then they got back in their car and took off and didn't report the accident.
Oh my gosh!
And so after I found out that they actually got out and looked at him, see, I thought it was just a crash. I didn't realize they got out and looked at a young man who was injured and left him. But after hearing that, I thought, well, yeah, they probably do deserve a little bit of...
Absolutely. I'm curious, what happened to the young man? Did he recover?
Apparently he's recovering, yes.
And he hasn't been permanently damaged in the sense of losing his ability to walk or anything like that?
Apparently not, but I'll have to tell you next Wednesday. I'll look that up.
Yeah, may I ask you a question which I shouldn't have to ask?
Okay.
I'm assuming this judge is white.
Yes, he is.
And was the victim white or minority? Do you know?
I do not know. No.
That would be an interesting question.
Yeah,
things are going now.
I know he was 19 years old. My guess is that he was white because we only have about 4 or 5% African American citizens here in Marion,
okay.
Ohio.
Okay, that low, so, really?
Yeah. Hmm. It's very low here in Marion. I think we're less than 1% Asian, and...
But he could have been from Columbus nearby. That doesn't necessarily mean that he was, directly from Marion.
You're absolutely right. He could have been from someplace else. But I will look that up for you, Dr. Feynman.
Be very interested to know. Do you know the name of the person?
Yeah, but I don't want to...
No, the victim. I guess you don't want to say it on the air.
Yeah, I don't want to
say
it.
But I mean, I'm really curious. You know, the way things are going, it's just being black or even Latino, but more black is like a death sentence. So much more, it's ridiculous.
Okay, that was one of my questions I had written down, and I did bring him in, by the way, into the station this time. That is one of my questions. What can we do to stop citizens being murdered by policemen or policewomen?
Well, we need much more training and reinforcement.
How much more training can the lady who shot the guy.
26 years, yeah.
26 years. How much more can...
I don't know. I don't know how anybody can survive 26 years as a police officer and make a blunder like that.
Yeah, that's just hard to imagine. I have lifted a taser. I've never fired one, but I've lifted one. And it's like picking up a toy pistol. I mean, they're really light as compared to picking up a Glock, which was her weapon of choice that she killed the young man.
Yeah. But, you know, also, again, I'm not a police officer. I don't have anybody in the family. There's too much of handcuffs. Everybody's handcuffed. And then he's on the ground, like, with, you know, with a murder case now.
Yeah.
If he's on his back and he's handcuffed, why do they have to mistreat him further? He can't do anything.
Well, they claim, now, if you've been watching the local, or the... George Floyd thing.
Yes, I have, and it's making me sick.
Yeah, me too. But there have been some claims that they have taken the handcuffs off certain people, and they jump up and fight back at once they take the handcuffs off.
Okay, but in the case of Floyd, he was handcuffed, and he was also on the ground. So why do they have to sit? Why do you have to sit on his neck?
That is a question that I don't think anybody can answer. Now,
and why was it that two or three other officers, one was black, one was Asian, and I understand he's, I guess, the senior guy, you know, Chauvin, but are these people just thinking, oh, I can't say a word, or it's a challenge, it's my job, and to hell with a life? I mean, why didn't they speak up?
That's something that they'll have to answer for themselves, because I have no idea.
That really shocked me when I discovered that two of them were minority. Not that that's the only thing, but you'd think they'd say, hey, you know, you don't have to be that heavy on him, get off. You know, they should have said something, but as far as I know, they said nothing. It just were afraid for their job, I guess, and just keep their mouth shut. Huh?
Actually, I believe the Asian policeman kept the people from getting close to, you know, the young lady who was taking the video of it. He was kind of trying to push all those people back so that they wouldn't either see it or do it. I don't know what he was trying to do, but if you watch the video, he's kind of putting his body between the onlookers and the young man, or Floyd, who was being killed.
It just amazes me. It shocks me. Because especially if you're a minority yourself, wouldn't you have a little more sensitivity to say, hey, don't be so rough? You could, you know.
Well, and they did. I listened to it, and there
Well, they did say they insulted?
Yes, there was one young, I think it was a young man, who said that...
But not a police officer.
No, not a police officer.
But one of the people in the crowd was saying, why do you have to do that?
Yeah, basically. Yeah, I'm not sure that's paraphrasing. It's not exactly what he said.
Yeah.
But now, and everybody goes back and says, we need more training. Well, and I have gotten in discussions with people about carry and concealed weapons and that sort of thing, and stand your ground stuff. Usually I'm on the side that they don't like, because I think it's a stupid law.
I also feel that way, yes.
But they always say to me, well, with training, you will know how to use that weapon. That is BS, as far as I'm concerned, because this lady, like I said, had 26 years of training as a cop, and still she shot a guy in the chest with the wrong weapon, and she had lots of training. I will guarantee you she had training every year, at least, on the use of her firearm.
Yeah, I wondered if she ever had any other incidents in those 26 years.
Yeah,
that would be interesting to track if she had any other complaints or any other infractions.
Now,
is this really the first one?
Yeah, that would be odd, wouldn't it? Now, this is...
Chauvin had many infractions that he kept on keeping him, you know?
Yeah. So, I don't know. And she did. Did you listen to the video of it?
Yes.
She
was upset.
She did sound like she knew she had made a mistake, and it was a terrible mistake.
Yes.
Which is different than watching Chauvin's...
Yes.
Cold stare at the camera that was videoing him. Yeah.
I feel a little bit sad for her, but how she could make a mistake like that is just, and was it really necessary to get that kind of a reaction to have to even pull out a weapon at all?
My wife keeps asking me, why do they even have weapons? And I think that's a good point. Why? I mean, yeah, I can see having a taser or something like that. The London police officers did not have a weapon other than a billy club for dozens, if not hundreds, of years.
Yes.
And they didn't have nearly the problems that we seem to have now.
Yes. You know what I think it is? Is that I think that it's such a stressful job, though. I'm trying to look
yes.
at the other side.
Yeah.
And it's hard to get good people, and the people they have, they need to keep, because I think a lot of people don't want to have that stress, you know, and so it's hard to recruit new people, especially after what's just happened. I think most people would be afraid to even consider moving forward toward that.
I have a lot of friends that say, I know a lot of really good cops. I have to tell you,
that's a lot. Two or three?
Yeah, I know a few police officers. Only one would I say was a really good cop. I don't know the others well enough to say they're a bad cop.
Yeah.
But there's an awful lot of machoism that.
Oh, absolutely. Although this is a woman, so maybe people say, "Well, what do you expect? It's a woman."
I wonder if there aren't people that are saying that. You know,
yes.
You can't train a woman.
At least not for that.
I don't know.
Oh, my gosh. No, it's really terrible. But it's just like the military. People don't want to attack fellow people in the military either. It's a macho thing. Yeah.
And I don't know if you've ever seen any of these studies, but many times when they show studies on groups that are trying to get their concealed carry license, and they take 8 hours of training, and then they put them in a room, and a guy comes in and fakes like he's going to shoot them all, they all panic and go off on... Every one of them would have been dead before they figured out what to do.
Yeah.
And I'm... 26 years doesn't even help, let alone only 8 hours of training. I don't know. I really hope that we never, and I'm sure we will never get to a point where we take a person's hunting rifle away from him or his handgun for his self-protection. I've always felt, though, that probably more people are killed by their self-protection guns than are killed by somebody breaking into their house and killing them.
Absolutely, and there was a case in the past week of a 3-year-old kid who shot and killed his 8-month-old brother because he got a hold of the gun they had or something. This kind of thing happens too often, too.
Yeah. Have you seen the ad that's, it's a public service announcement that's on TV where the guy goes into his house and he's running around and he says, I can't find it. Do you know where it is? And he runs up the stairs. I can't find him. He's hunting for his son and he's talking on the phone with his wife. I can't find him. And then, oh my gosh. And apparently he's outside the young man's door that's locked. And the implication is the young man probably committed suicide.
Well, that does happen.
Yeah.
A lot of people commit suicide. Kids who are teenagers, especially if they're gay or lesbian, or even if they just are being abused at school by classmates and all that. There's an awful lot of young people, even not just gay, even other than that, that do that. And it's because guns are... Well, you can also kill yourself other ways, obviously, pills. But the whole idea of shooting yourself, oh, my God.
Well, you know, I only know one person that's died from a gun. I mean, personally. Now, I almost shot my own foot off.
Wow.
The only time I ever went hunting, I went with a young man who gave me a shotgun, and we were going to go out and shoot rabbits. I don't know why. Don't know what we were going to do with them if we shot them.
How old were you at the time?
14, 15.
Oh, so you were a teenager. Yeah.
And I pulled the trigger by accident, and the blast went right next to my foot.
Oh, my God.
Didn't hit me at all, thank goodness.
Wow. But you would have had a very different life if it had.
Well, and I never went hunting again because it scared me. And also I realized, well, I'm not smart enough to be a hunter.
Yeah, how did he react, the other person?
Like all teenagers. At
laughed
first,
it off, huh?
he was shocked, and then he laughed. Yeah, he laughed it.
Right.
But the one person that I did know that died by a gun was my cousin.
Oh, wow.
And
sorry to hear that.
He fell into a hole that somebody had dug to trap bear.
Ooh.
He fell into a hole, and he was trying to get out, so he dug his weapon into the ground, and it went off and blew his head off. So.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and he was, I guess, probably 18, 19, something
oh,
like
God.
That.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So
oh, my God.
There, a lot more people are killed by accident with guns than by protection.
Very sad.
And they were also talking about this the other day on when they were talking about this George Floyd thing, is that how few people are, you know, they, some people say the way to stop a bad guy with a gun is with a good guy with a gun. Only
yes.
2% of all incidents where somebody stopped a bad guy with a gun. There were only 2% were by a good guy with a gun. So it doesn't really happen very often.
No, it's just propaganda from the National Rifle Association.
Yeah.
And from gun manufacturers.
And truly, and everybody, and including the National Rifle Association, seems to be stoking the fire of it's a slippery slope, and if you take away one gun, you're going to take away them all. I am a devout progressive and know a lot of devout progressives, and I don't know one of them that thinks we should take a gun away from a hunter or even a gun away from a person who's going to keep it in their home
right.
as protection. I know none that want to do that. I do know a lot that think the AR-15s and the, you know, all the different assault weapons.
AK-47s and all those,
They should be banned. But.
Yeah, talk about progressive, since you brought up that word, which I love, because that's my title. I see the Atlantic magazine has an article about a new progressive era might be beginning with Joe Biden, and it's so nice to hear that.
And yet, he's considered a moderate.
They say he surprised people by the fact that he is not as centrist as we thought, that he's willing to listen to the progressive left and move to the left in a responsible way. So,
I'm
really excited. I hope it's true, you know?
I think he's willing to listen to anybody, quite frankly. It just
84
seems...
days now, till the 100 days.
Yeah.
84 days done. Yeah, I think he is willing to listen. And look at how he conducted himself at that service at the U.S. Capitol yesterday for the Capitol officer killed a couple of weeks ago. In the way he went over to the family, the guy has so much compassion and empathy. How could you not love him, you know?
Well, now, you know, one of the interesting things, and I'm not positive this is true, but I believe the soloist who sang Amazing Grace, I think I saw his insignia on his dress blues. I think he might have been from my old unit, the United States Army Field Band.
Yeah, I was thinking about that yesterday.
And they're based, right?
I was thinking about you and that.
Well, they're based at Fort Meade, and Fort Meade is maybe 10 miles away from Washington, D.C.
But imagine how he's the perfect person in a time of tragedy, whether it's personal or national tragedy. He knows how to express himself well, and it's not phony, it's real.
Well, now, a lot of people are saying, well, he can't express himself because he's got dementia.
He expresses himself just fine. I don't know what will be the future, because I can't predict 4 years. Nobody can predict tomorrow.
Right.
But I don't see it. That's just it's the same people who say, oh, Pelosi and Harris are conspiring against him. And I'm thinking, you're forgetting there's another woman in the way, Dr. Jill Biden. She wouldn't let that happen.
No, she wouldn't. And I don't think there's anything in their minds like that. So.
Well, it's because they're both Californians. These are people who hate California.
Well, they better take it up with me, because I have a Californian son now and daughter-in-law. So.
And I would say to those that we shouldn't have two Dakotas. Somebody's already
said. Yeah. What's the story with two Dakotas? And one of them is governed by a very beautiful ignoramus.
Oh, she's horrible, Christy Noem. But she has these visions. She might get Trump's backing and run for president. Can you believe this?
Yes, I do. What I don't believe that is he's not in jail yet.
And Nikki Haley keeps on swinging back and forth. She shouldn't run. He should run. He's bad. He's not. I'm just saying, how could anybody respect Nikki Haley at this point?
Yeah, and I did when I first saw her. I thought, now here's a Republican I can respect.
Yes.
But boy, she has been so bad about.
Can you imagine now? I respect her. I don't really like her. Liz Cheney.
Yeah, no, I watched her the other night saying some pretty bad stuff about the House Bill 1 that just passed. What is it called?
About the vote, yeah.
Yeah. She was saying that it only... Oh, no, no, it was about the infrastructure
yeah.
thing. She says only 6% of infrastructure now, bill is related to infrastructure. Well, you know, you can make those things up. They don't think that certain things are infrastructure, even though without that bill, the infrastructure will never be... I mean, there are things that aren't railroads and potholes in infrastructure.
Yes.
But they don't understand that.
No, so, I mean, Liz, I don't like Liz Cheney. I'm just saying I admire her courage about Trump, but yes. I don't like her at all. It's, every time she opens up her mouth, I hear her father.
Yeah, yeah. And
I think more Lisa Murkowski I admire. I do like her, you know.
I wouldn't trust her, though, with a shotgun like your father.
Yes. And get this, the other guy apologized to him.
Yeah.
Him apologized to the guy.
Please excuse me for putting my face in front of your gun.
How could that have occurred? I said, this is crazy. You know?
There are so many silly things that are done in the name of sucking up to power.
Yes. That guy's still alive, by the way. I think he's in his 90s now, I think.
Yeah, but he's got pot marks all over his face.
Don't tell me you're joking, aren't you?
I'm sorry. I shouldn't say
I don't know. Maybe he does have some scars. I don't know.
I made that up.
Oh, my gosh. But, I mean, I'm just thinking, what is wrong with Dick Cheney? Why did he say, I'm sorry, you know?
Yeah,
Jeez.
He's too much of a guy. Now,
it's like Trump, except he's smarter than Trump. Trump's the same way. He'll never apologize for anything.
He wouldn't know what to apologize for because he doesn't know what he said. You know,
God, the party is so outrageous. You know, it really is. Now, wasn't that way in the 60s and 70s? Chuck Percy, Jacob Javits, yep. Mark Hatfield, and people like that. They were good people in the Republican Party,
Jacob
but that
Javits,
decades ago, you know.
He was highly respected, yes.
Who, Hatfield?
Javits.
Oh, Javits, yes.
Very, very
yeah.
highly respected. Most of them, I was a Republican until Nixon, and you could respect most Republicans. It wasn't, almost all of them were closer to the center, and all of the Democrats
yes.
were also closer to the center,
yes.
so that we could still talk to each other. We
yes.
don't seem able to do that anymore.
No, it's very sad. It
yeah.
really is.
All right.
Meanwhile, as you have faith, you want to discuss Joe Manchin.
That is...
It's standing in the way, and it's driving me crazy, you know?
That was my next note that I had to myself. What can the Democrats or the progressives do to... Surely they don't... My wife keeps being frightened that if they keep saying bad things about Manchin, he will become a Republican. Do you think there's any possibility of that?
I don't think so, but it's very difficult to get anything done, you know, if they're going to alienate him. I don't know.
Do you think he's playing this as a power game, or do you think he really believes what he's talking about?
I don't know if he has any real principles. I think he makes us think he has principles.
Okay.
But I don't really admire him very much. I think he's probably being manipulative and trying to get something out of all this. Well, one thing I heard, West Virginia is trying to bring people to come into the state, I saw, and they're offering people $12,000 if they come to the state and some other benefits, and they can work remotely. Can you believe that?
I just saw that on the internet, yeah.
Yes.
Now, it would help if they hadn't raised the price of driving on the on their toll road by double. It went from last year it was like $2 at each stop, and there were three stops and now it's $4 at each stop.
Oh, wow.
That's quite a jump.
Yes.
To pay for their stupid road.
Yeah, I posted on that, and somebody said, I think Adam Lepp said to me jokingly, he said, you should move, this is the state you love the most, don't you, West Virginia?
Oh, my.
So I said, no, of course he was joking, and then I said, I would add to that list Alabama, Mississippi, North Dakota, and also Oklahoma to the list.
Arkansas? How about Arkansas?
I didn't put Arkansas in because I was being respectful to Bill Clinton.
Okay. All right.
And also the Bill Clinton Museum and libraries there. I just said, what is there in Oklahoma, Alabama, Mississippi, or North Dakota? Notice I didn't say South Dakota because we have Mount Rushmore. So I was thinking about places to visit, so I didn't include those states. I just put states I couldn't even see myself going there.
Well, what you need to do to add to your list is come to Marion, Ohio, so that you can go into the new Harding Library that they've built, I guess.
Has it been opened yet?
I don't believe so.
Oh.
It's very nice looking, and it's right behind his home that he lived in.
Oh, wow.
And I think it's going to be a library. I don't know what he'd have in his library. Maybe pictures of his girlfriends or
and maybe the text of the messages talking about his Jerry.
Oh, my.
You know what I mean by Jerry. That's what it was called, Jerry.
Yeah. Yeah, I had heard that, but I didn't know why he was called that, though.
The guy was quite obscene in many ways, you know.
Okay.
He wasn't very capable, honestly. He was a president, but he didn't even want the job. His wife pushed him.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. And we've had his illegitimate grandson on the air several times here.
Yes.
Scott's interviewed him, and apparently... the Harding family apparently has agreed that he was a son or grandson.
Yeah.
This gentleman.
Yeah. But I mean, the thing about Harding is that it's always been said he's a good looking man and he was a good orator. He knew how to speak. So that came across well. He was quite a good speaker and he's a handsome fellow, but he really didn't have much of a background in the Senate and he really didn't even want the job, was pushed into it, and then even in 1923 was making statements about what a hell of a job this is and how people he had appointed had caused corruption in his administration. And his was the most corrupt since Grant, chronologically.
Huh.
It is sad. And then, of course, others add on to it after, like Nixon and Reagan and Trump.
Yeah. Now, I do, on the show that I do on Thursday, quite often I read speeches from great presidents and great orators and stuff like that. Probably the shortest one I've read was Truth Sojourns. It was maybe 5 minutes long. It was quite interesting.
Well, actually, 2 minutes long is the Gettysburg Address.
Yes, and I've read the Gettysburg Address, and that's very short. I think it's...
2 minutes.
Yeah, I was trying to remember the number of words. It's very, very short.
Yes.
But like 147 words or something. It's really amazing. You could get it in a tweet almost.
Yes, but, and you know, when he gave that Gettysburg Address, a different person was speaking before him, Edward Everett,
talked
who was
2 hours,
well-known
right?
speaker. He went on for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And the hot sun in Pennsylvania in November, it happened to be warm, and then he comes up for 2 minutes, and at the time they made a big deal out of the Edward Everett and made nothing of Lincoln saying 2 minutes, but his 2 minutes was more important than the
Absolutely.
2 hours.
It sure was. Well, like I was going to say, I've read several of these speeches, so I tried to look up a speech by Harding that I could read. I couldn't find one that I could get done in 2 hours.
well, maybe in
an hour.
well, maybe the dedication of the Lincoln Memorial in 1922.
Did he speak on
Lincoln
that?
I don't know how long the speech was, but he did, you know, he was at that event in D.C.
I'll look that up, yeah.
Lincoln Memorial and Robert Todd Lincoln, I'm sure, made statements too, you know.
Okay.
Son, you know.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
By the way, Robert Todd Lincoln was a handsome devil, and I looked at his mother and his father and said, where did this come from? Because Lincoln was not good looking, and neither was Mary Todd, but Robert Todd Lincoln, I think, actually was quite a good looking man, you know, in my opinion, unless I have bad eyesight.
Now, I looked at, or I think I watched parts of Lincoln by Ken Burns.
Yes.
And I believe he mentioned that in her young day, she was considered a pretty woman. Now, I agree with you. She isn't anything I would have taken to the senior prom, but I'm not anything she would have taken to the senior prom either.
That's funny. But Robert Todd Lincoln, I'm thinking, this is Lincoln's son, the only one who survived. 3 sons died.
Yeah.
It was very tragic, you know.
Was he the last of his sons?
He was the old, I think he was the oldest. He was the firstborn,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he ended up being in the cabinet of 2 presidents. So he did have a role in government, you know, and some people thought of him as a future candidate for president, but that never happened. And he was also at the site of both assassinations of Garfield and McKinley. He was right nearby in both cases. Do you believe that?
That's sadly interesting.
And he was not far away from where his father was killed, which is tonight, 156 years ago.
Really? That is tonight?
Well, it's April 14th. This is the day he shot at about 10:15 in the evening at Ford's Theater, which is still there, of course, and it's a National Historic Site. Today's April 14th. So,
but he actually died on the 15th, didn't
died
he?
On 5, at 7:22 a.m. Eastern Time.
Oh,
that's the time, tomorrow morning. Yeah, so, and I'm just writing a blog entry about the fact, right in the middle of April, we have the two greatest presidents, the tragedy of their death, FDR on April 12th, and Lincoln April 14th, April 15th.
Well, you are the assassination expert, so...
Well, in the case of FDR, though, of course, he died of natural causes, but there was also that event in February 1933, 17 days before his inauguration, where he was shot at in Miami, and if he had been killed, there would have been no New Deal, would have been John Nance Garner as president.
But he wasn't hit at all, was he?
He was not hit. Instead, the mayor of Chicago, right. Anton Cermak, was fatally wounded.
Yeah, I remember.
And then the assassin executed 5 weeks after the whole event. That's how quick Florida justice was in 1933. Imagine that.
What did they do after 5 days after that? They
5 weeks after, we went on trial, was found guilty, and within 5 weeks after the death, after the shooting, I think he died like a week later, Mayor Cermak, he was executed after only 5 weeks after the events, the assassin.
How did they execute him? Did they hang him? Or?
No, the electric chair.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but my God, 5 weeks? There's no other assassin that's ever died that quickly.
Yep.
They usually drag on for years, or it takes at least a year, with so many cases. It's just amazing, how Florida was. But then Florida hasn't improved much, because I'm going after Florida lately in my blog, too, because the government leaders in this state are horrendous.
Well, I would assume if they're African-American, they just take them out into the swamp and throw them to the alligators.
Back in those days, yeah.
That's what I meant.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No question about it. There were a lot of lynchings, and there was even a lynching in Fort Lauderdale in 1960, the last known lynching.
Is that right? That was in Fort Lauderdale.
Fort Lauderdale, yes.
I saw a bit about that two nights ago on TV. Yeah.
And of course, around this time, I'm not sure what month, is, of course, the horrible events in Tulsa, the massacre of 1921.
The
so-called Black Wall Street, an area that was pretty prosperous where blacks lived, and most of the people were killed, and it was burned down, and yet not much was ever said or written about it for so long. Like, just ignore it, don't say anything about it. So much of our history has been disgraceful, including against Japanese and Chinese Americans, and like what happened with these recent people killed in Atlanta. It's just so much going on that we just don't know about. But yet you have people who don't want to hear it, who say, they don't believe in Black Lives Matter. And I say, all lives matter, of course. But you don't have whites facing this kind of threats that people of other races have, you know?
Yeah. Now, the Black Wall Street thing, didn't they actually drop bombs from not real bombs,
fake
bombs from airplanes?
Yes, of course, the airplanes were very primitive, but yes.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Oklahoma has a horrible treatment of Native Americans also, And the thing is, I still don't quite understand is the Supreme Court, I think it was last year, said half of Oklahoma is Native American land, but I don't know what that means in reality. It's still an Oklahoma government with a bunch of morons running it. So what do the Native Americans really have power over? I don't know. There was a decision,
tumbleweed and sand.
But I'm not very happy with Oklahoma. That's why I used to say, give it back to the Native Americans, which are the ones who should have had it.
The Native Americans that were in Oklahoma weren't they the Trail of Tears from Florida?
Yes.
Yeah, that's
and from Georgia also, yes.
Georgia as well?
Yep.
Yeah. You guys down there in Florida have a lot to be proud of.
No, it does not have a lot to be proud of. And its leadership now, Scott, and DeSantis and Rubio, also the state legislature.
The Three Musketeers.
Oh, my God, they're just terrible. I think DeSantis is worse every day. It reminds me of Noam every day, because you know him in South Dakota.
It would be a little bit more dealable with, if that's a word, if he weren't so haughty about it and so arrogant.
Well, he's like a mini Trump. He wants to be the nominee in 2024 if Trump doesn't run, and in some polls, he's ahead.
Is that right?
Yeah, actually at the CPAC, I think it was the CPAC convention, they said Trump 55%, and I think he got 21%, and everybody else got less. So he's like the next person behind Trump. And he golfs with Trump, and of course Trump lives in my county here. So, he really is...
Your county is where he lives? Have you done praise to his golden statue?
I've never been there. It's in the same county, but it's on Palm Beach, and I've never been to Mar-a-Lago, no.
Oh, okay. So you are I'm in the southern part,
right near Broward County, Boca Raton, you know.
Okay. All right. Well, you have alligators there.
I haven't seen any.
Oh,
I wish
really?
I do.
Good.
And then he asked about taxation of the very rich. Wanted to discuss.
That is, thank you for bringing that up.
Because I'm looking at
the
entry
top
on
my
page.
List. Yeah. The taxation of the rich. Now, do you think that they will stand for that? Biden's talking about going from, 21-23% up to 28% for the very rich. And we're talking very rich people.
Yes, and in fact, there's a meme on Facebook that says, here's what a few billionaires would owe with a wealth tax. Jeff Bezos, $5.7 billion. He would still have $185 billion, though. And, of course, that $5.7 billion would be made up in interest over the year, I'm sure. You know.
Of course, yeah.
And then Elon Musk, $4.6 billion, he still would have $149 billion. And Bill Gates, $3.6 billion, he still would have $116 billion. So, it's no big deal. It really isn't.
Yeah, and the one response that I've heard from some of the people that don't like the idea of a wealth tax is, well, where are we going to get all the money that those people donate? Well, if the government takes it from them, then maybe we can use it in more constructive methods rather than have somebody who's in charge of a foundation who has some gilded calf that they want to take care of, put that money in that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Right now, our what is that called? Where people give money? It's called.
Not sure what you mean.
A person that gives money to people is a
philanthropist. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, with that kind of money that those people have, they can do philanthropy with other billions. They don't need that. They can't spend it. They can't. It's just ridiculous. They don't need that kind of money.
Well, the farmer, he's a Democrat. The farmer who's a billionaire, he's given most of his money to Gates, to their foundation, and so that's kind of helpful, apparently.
Who are you talking about? I'm not sure. I know what you mean.
Oh shoot! I wish I could.
I'm not
see.
Sure.
Well,
some people are good philanthropists, yes.
Yeah.
But others, I think, like even with Jeff Bezos, why is he resisting unionization of Amazon in Alabama?
That.
And why did they vote against it? I don't get it.
The only thing I can think is that there was a lot of money spent to get them to vote against it.
But why?
I don't understand what
the big deal is for him, you know?
Yeah, I don't really know. And did he come out and really say bad stuff about it, or did it just happen that way? I don't know.
Well, I think he certainly was involved in propaganda. I'm not sure personally, but a lot of the literature was sent to these different people, I think, to, in my mind, intimidate them, and it's really ridiculous, you know, because these people are not being treated well enough. Even if they get $15 an hour, big deal, that's not enough with the kind of conditions they work under, where apparently they can't even take a bathroom break.
Well, and that's what, about $32,000 a year? I think
that's about that.
What it works out to be. That's
in Alabama. Now it is true; it's cheaper in Alabama to live, but still, that's not good. And you know, it just sets a bad standard for Amazon and all these corporations that are so against unions, just as they were in the 1930s during Roosevelt's time, when we had all the auto unions succeed in being, finally getting involvement in that, because they were being fought against by the auto companies. But I mean,
viciously fought against. I mean, there were a lot of people that died in that disagreement with the auto manufacturers. Ford was not a pleasant person to go against.
And neither was GM, but we're not supposed to say that. Shh.
Oh, okay. I drive Fords, but I'm not a big Ford fan.
Yeah, we know what Ford stands for.
What?
Bound on the road dead.
Yeah, I did have
Or fix or repair daily.
I have heard that. But there are also acronyms for Chevys and,
Anyway. Well, I buy Ford. I have a Honda.
Oh, okay.
Under a court.
So
I'm sorry. I'm
anti-American,
I guess.
Yeah. You're a communist. Anyway.
The best automobiles, Japanese automobiles, I think are better generally, you know?
Well, they seem to hold up longer.
Yes.
Well, and the Volkswagens hold up a long time, too.
Yes.
Those are German, so.
Yes.
I don't know. My Fords have held up very well, though. I have no complaints about my Fords.
Years ago, I had Fords, but I found they were more and more difficult and a lot more repairs. And that's why I switched years ago to Honda. Yeah.
My
I wanted to mention, I have a meme here that says $6,472,200,000,000. That's $6.4 trillion. That's how much we can seize from the billionaire class without even reducing the number of billionaires. That would entirely eradicate world hunger for, I don't know if this is true, for 216 years, it says. I don't know if that's
true.
1/20th of it would hold climate change by 2030. And remember that, you know, this doesn't even take a penny from people with only $1
billion.
So it's some of the really rich, not just those who have $1 billion.
Yeah, wow. That's a $6 trillion?
Yeah.
Holy cow. Well, I wish I had that problem that I made that much money. But you know, one of the ways I put myself to sleep every night, well, not every night, but one of the ways I put myself to sleep. Oh, and by the way, my
little puppy dog, right?
No, she passed away. I was going to tell you that. Yeah, I forgot.
Was that something you know? Something sudden? What you knew was happening?
2 weeks ago.
Oh my gosh!
And she
sorry.
She was very uncomfortable, so we decided to have her put to sleep. So.
How old was she?
17.
So well, she was an
she
old
had
age,
a good life. She
oh,
had
I'm
a very
so
good
sorry.
Life.
My gosh.
Well, that,
my condolences. Wow.
Well, thank you. And, you know, I have never had a dog that I was so attached to. I think about her every morning and every
yeah,
night.
Of course.
Yeah,
so. A pet is a person, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway. Well, I just happened to pick that up when you were saying something else. Do you remember
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I was talking about...
Going
to sleep. The way I put myself to sleep is I think I won a $300 million lottery, okay?
And then oh my gosh.
And then I have to take the $150 million out for taxes. So now I have $150 million, and I have to give my wife half of that. So I'm down to $75 million.
That's funny.
What would I do with $75 million? And boy, I tell you what, I can think of all sorts of fun stuff.
Most well, you would give some to your kids, too.
Well, yeah, and I've also, well, actually what I do is I get myself down to $70 million and give my wife $70 million, and we take $10 million and spread that amongst our three children. Okay, so
yeah, that's very nice.
They're
yeah.
taken care of, and then one of the first things I do with my money is I help our local food pantry, which
yes.
we have a very good food pantry, and they are one of those food pantries that doesn't kowtow to all the rules and regulations. They just give food to people that need food.
That's the way it should be.
Yeah, so I'm going to take care of them. I'm going to help St. Jude's Hospital because they don't expect
yes.
money from people. And I'm going to build small houses for people who are homeless.
Yes, I've heard about that, yes.
Yeah, and those are the three things. And then I'm going to build an art
museum, yes.
Yeah, museum.
Yeah, well, the thing is, you're doing good deeds because, let's face it, you could spend a certain amount to travel to do what you like to do or buy certain things, but there's no way to spend all that money, you know, just for oneself.
Yeah.
I just don't know why these people who are super rich don't understand that, you know?
I don't either. And now I just sold my trailer, and so I don't have a trailer anymore, so I can't go traveling around, but I may buy a new thing. But we'll talk about that later when my wife isn't listening.
I'm just, you know, you always talk about your puppy, and I just happened to bring it up, and I wasn't aware that this had happened. My
yeah,
gosh.
Cheyenne left us on the 20th of March.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
boy. So
it's
almost a month ago, but you never mentioned it.
No, I didn't really. I don't want people to feel sorry for me, so I just soon not think about it.
So are you going to have another puppy, or you don't have a dog now?
Again, if my wife's listening, no. But if my wife is not listening, yes.
Well, you've had other dogs before, or
just
the only one?
We've been married for 51 years, and I don't think we've ever been without a puppy.
Oh, this is like the longest time, almost a month, huh?
Yeah, this easily the longest time.
Mrs. Coble, you're getting a dog.
And usually we've had more than one dog. So.
All smaller dogs, though, right?
Yeah, almost. Yeah. Well, not always. We had a dog that we got from my daughter. It was a love dog. Her boyfriend made her buy it, and then they broke up.
So
we got O'Douls, and he was about 90 pounds. So he's My wife says, no more big, well, she said a long time ago, no big dogs.
You should have charged the former boyfriend for all the food.
Yes, we should have. We should have. And he wasn't a very nice guy anyway. So.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Well,
yeah.
We're down to our last minute and a half. So tell me what we need to say to wrap this all up.
Well, I think I'll just mention that, you know, this is the time of FDR and Lincoln, and it's a time to rethink about the importance of great leaders, and both of them dying around this time, you know, 80 years apart. So I think that's something worthy of attention. And you know, I think that if we didn't have either one of them, this country would have been much worse off.
Other than the Gettysburg Address, which would you say is Lincoln's best speech?
The second inaugural address in 1865, which was only 6 weeks before his death. Not so much the first, but the second inaugural address.
I may read that tomorrow if it's not
too
terrible.
Yeah, that's longer, of course, than the Gettysburg Address.
Of course, yeah.
That includes things like, with malice toward none, with charity
all,
you know, talk about the end of the war coming, you know.
Okay.
As it was nearing the end. So, yeah, the man really grew in office. You know, he had his faults, everybody does, but he grew in office, and so did FDR, and that's what made them great. And I'd like to, not saying Joe Biden's going to be them, but I think he's growing in office, and he's going to turn out to be regarded in a lot better light than many people thought when he got elected.
I think I agree with you.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're down to our last 20 seconds, so thanks a lot for coming on. We'll talk to you next week, all right?
Very much look forward to next week, so have a good week. Take care.
You too. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Dr. Feynman, and we're going to take our break here. We got about 10 seconds left to go. I hope you tune in tomorrow. We will have a show all morning. I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do. So tune in for the and find out. Have a good day.
You're listening to WWGH Radio.